have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom, a safe space for us to discuss how we're feeling about Illinois sports after such a fantastic weekend. We'd like to welcome our Commander-in-Chief, Robert, on for this week's quick hitter episode here after such a fun weekend. Robert, how are you doing, man?
Monotone robotic intro, Maddie. That's a good vibe for the start of this. It was a little like, welcome to the boardroom. We suck and we lost to Iowa and now we're going to lose to Duke and life's going to fall apart.
The only way to be an Illinois fan is to be programmed to do so. So I figured that's kind of how I would roll with it at the start here.
You're right. You have to be that to face a week like this because I'm scared to death, man.
Yeah, I completely understand. Well, we had a couple questions that we wanted to ask you, especially after a game, especially after a game like this. So can you walk us through the first few hours or even days, 24, 48 hours after a loss? Like, what does that look like for you? I can tell you for us, I made some soup. My roommates got some chicken tenders. Like, it's just a low, low point. You know, what does your day, 2 days after a loss look like?
Oh, let's see. I'll walk you through the whole thing. So I did the post-game press conference. I can't, they're on Zoom this year, but even if it wasn't on Zoom, I can't bring myself to go like, hey, Doug Kramer, does it suck to lose? And so I don't really even participate because it's just so depressing and I don't want to be depressed in front of the players. So I did the post-game press conference. I sat there fiddling around trying to write something. I couldn't do it in the press box, so I came home. I told my wife I didn't want to think about the game, so we watched a movie that had 33% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What movie?
I can't even think of the name of it. It was the girl from Parks, Jenny Slate, who played Jean Ralphio's sister on Parks and Rec. She is an artist and has to go to some residency in Norway with some artist trying to paint a barn. That's literally the movie.
Sounds as forgettable as that Iowa game. Yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. So I did that to try and distract myself. Then my wife went to bed. I'm like, I have to write about this game. I tried for 3 hours. I tried different angles, different ways to write about it. It was too depressing. It was too sad. It was too angry. It was too everything. And so I realized that I wasn't going to be able to write anything better than what I recorded in the From the Stands. And so I just left it at that. And so I got up this morning. I told my wife, I'm not going to write. We went for a hike. We went down to Lake Shelbyville and walked around in the woods with our dog. And I didn't really eat from the game until about 4 o'clock today. And now I'm somewhat back to being a functioning adult. So that is literally the 24 hours after a loss for me.
Honestly, that's pretty good. You know, we're how many hours? 29, 30 hours after the game here. And the fact that you're already back to like full force again, I think that's pretty good. 30 hours in, you know, you're from the stands.
Yeah.
You know, you were in your feelings there in the From the Stands, and so I figured this might be a longer road to recovery than a normal loss here.
At what point did you kind of realize that that's the angle you wanted the From the Stands to go with?
You could hear it come to my brain. Like, I just told, like, Ben, the baseball writer from the site, just texted me. He's like, hey, I listened to From the Stands. He's like, that's pretty good. You know, started tracing my own high school relationships. He's like, how'd you come up with that? And I'm like, literally, I'm recording that. I'm standing in – I shouldn't even say it. Well, I can say it now because it won't be – so there's this server room. Like, there's this big rack of servers in this – I go down this one hallway in this little corner. And so I think it's just like the – it's like a server room for the press box and for all the suites and all that stuff. And so I just found my way to there to record the first one since I can't go to where I usually do it. because of COVID. And so I'm standing there. I'm looking out. There's a window in it. You can see Grange Grove from there. I'm standing there. And the thought hit me of like, oh, God, this is, you know, this is just like all these inevitable scenarios that have played out in my life. And so I just, you could hear my, I laughed when the thought hit my brain, and then I just started talking.
Robert, speaking of your From the Stands, you mentioned that you didn't, your mind didn't really get ahead of yourself when we're up 14-0. Because for me, when I'm up 14-0, I'm like, oh, wow, it's so annoying that Northwestern's game got canceled, so we don't have a path to the Big Ten West title. So can you just, like, talk through a little bit? Like, you're really sitting there 14-0 just thinking to yourself, we just need the clock to run out, essentially?
Yeah. Like, again, I'm getting real-time stuff from fans. I'll get some, you know, I'll get, like, 200-some, like, you know, at tweets during a game, and so I'll scroll through those, and you so you can kind of pick up the vibe, and people are like starting to be like, beat Nebraska, beat Rutgers, now we're beating Iowa, like, can we get to 63, all this stuff, and I'm just sitting there like, please, I want the world to stop. I'm like not superstitious, I'm not thinking like, oh, don't say it because it might not happen. I'm thinking like, people, this is, you know where this goes, we are Illinois football and we cannot be trusted. Please know that I am just begging for 14-13 final or something, you know, just get me to the final whistle somehow, tripping over the line. And that was my struggle and that was my thing. And as it started to play out, it's just like, God, every single person knows what's about to happen. And we're just sitting here watching it all unfold. And it's just the worst feeling ever.
Yeah. And also, now that we've kind of seen that this season with that loss, like, it's pretty much at this point a disappointment, have you kind of come to grips with that fact that year five was just not what we built it up to be?
Or post Minnesota, I think I enjoyed Rutgers and Nebraska. I even more enjoyed the fact that Ohio State couldn't play us, somehow kept us in the Big Ten West. And I was having that same thought after Purdue lost to Nebraska, which was the third thing on my checklist. I'm like, okay, if we beat Iowa, then we can honestly say after the game, if we would have beaten Iowa, or if we beat Iowa, we could have honestly said after the game, we were Northwestern losing to Minnesota today away from the game next week being for the Big Ten West. Like, it was that, like, that's what's at stake. That's what's right there to be had. And to watch a 35-0 run by Iowa, it's just another punch. And so, yeah, so, I mean, it's quickly back to, you know, obviously I thought this needed to be a 7-5 or 8-4 season. And to get to that had to be at least 5 Big Ten wins. And now, even if we win the last two, we're at 4. And it's just, you know, it's officially going to come up short now.
So what's the light at the end of the tunnel? Or is there just no light because this is Illinois football?
You said get hit by a train.
New light rail going to be installed in Champaign?
Light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train.
Oh, wow.
oh no! This is a happy episode.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Like I just recorded the TV thing here at Channel 3, and Marley asked me that question, and I don't even know how to answer it. Like I know the financial situation of all Big Ten teams. It's interesting to me that both South Carolina and other schools have made a move. I don't know if Illinois can make a move. I don't know what happens. I feel like financially Illinois can't do anything and are hamstrung right now. So it's kind of pointless to put thoughts toward it. And so I don't really know like where to go with all.
No, I was giving Sam the look because we've been in the coaching carousel and doing the thing where we're looking at new coaches. So,
Well, I won't do it until it's official. But B, I just don't know how we do anything. Like I don't know how in our financial situation, with the number of donors we have, with emails going out of iFund trying to get to a certain level and everything else, I don't know our financial situation with COVID to say like, okay, if we want to hire a football coach, we need to get rid of swimming and diving. I mean, I'm just throwing crap out, but like, it's like, I don't know how a process would work where we're at in COVID.
Got it. Before we go on to talk basketball, we did want to talk a little just like hate week, rivalry week. So can you say to us and explain to us why you dislike Northwestern and why a win would at least salvage some happiness for all of us by beating those guys?
That I hate Northwestern and see them as our rival because I'm not from Chicago. I feel like they're just the little school in Evanston and nobody cares. And because I didn't grow up with that feeling and that knowledge and that they are little brother and they will forever be just this nerd school and blah, blah, blah. You know, my first true gut punch loss when I was a student was 92 losing to Northwestern. They were horrific. And we lost. We had like a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. We gave up 3 touchdowns to lose by 1 with the last touchdown at like 30 seconds left. And because of that, like I developed this, like, I cannot stand them. And then once rivalry weekend came along and they were our rival and we kept losing to them, it was more and more like, yes, this is a real rival. And I view this rivalry as such. And since I started writing about it, I've been met with like, they're not our rival. Who cares about Northwestern, this and that? And I am just fully like, well, to me, they are. We suck. Somehow the worst program in America is now better than us. And I want to beat them and I hate their coach. So like it fits everything I want to do with a rival of saying, okay, yeah, good. So
what do you hate about future Bears head coach Pat Fitzgerald?
God, somebody said this to me once. I can't believe I'm going to say this. This is a thing it's bounced around in my head. Somebody once said to me, do you hate Pat Fitzgerald because he's so much like you? And like, I hated that. Like hated that. But like jovial, joking guy in the press conference and, you know, saying hyperbolic things like, yeah, RPOs are communism and all this stuff. Like, I just don't like the whole vibe. Like, I don't like the go cats. I don't like the, you know, I just don't like the whole happy guy, finger guns, you know, I'll just. To say this, hey, me and Teddy will joke around in the press conference. I'm sitting here. You guys can see me. I'm like bouncing. Like I hate bobblehead Pat Fitzgerald.
Chicago's so, Big Ten team, their strength coach.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, I can tell you, Robert.
Yes, the strength coach, the whole thing, like the little Reese Davis jokes. Like nobody likes this outside of Northwestern. You know, and it fits that whole school of journalism snobby kind of North Shore vibe, and I can't stand it. So it's the perfect foil. I just dislike the man and hate that he constantly destroys my team.
Yeah, ever since Northwestern wrapped up the Big Ten West, living in Chicago, the streets are just painted in gold. You can't turn a corner without seeing someone in a Northwestern hat, Northwestern jersey. You wouldn't know. Yes. you wouldn't even know that it was a team around here, Chicago's Big
what
Ten.
What year was it when there was that, what's this? You guys don't have Fox Sports because I'm thinking St. Louis. What is the regional sports network? Is it a Comcast network?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it used to be Comcast. Now it's NBC Sports Chicago or whatever it is, yeah.
Right. That's it. They put up that poll at some point where it was like, what are you most looking forward to this weekend? And it was like, you know, Cubs NLDS game, Bears Packers, some fight that was going on and this and that. And one of the options was like number 17 Northwestern against number 10 Wisconsin or something. And so they did this poll on their show and this and that, and it came back 0% on the Northwestern.
Perfect.
Like everything had something. Not one person responded to their poll saying, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Northwestern, Wisconsin.
If you
that's the perfect
if you had to break down the fandom in Chicago, like I feel like with college teams, I feel like Northwestern would be like fifth on that list. You have Michigan, you have Illinois, you have Indiana, Notre Dame
is one. Notre Dame, Illinois is not up there.
And then you'd have Northwestern like probably fifth or sixth here in the city. It's a pro sports town, which I understand, but like there's just so little amount of like Northwestern pride here in Chicago that you just forget that it's even a team here at times, I feel like.
But you know who did hate Northwestern a lot was Tim Beckman.
Yes, he did.
Sam, remember you walked by? Let's hear that
story. All right, so here's a little story. Freshman year orientation. So this is my summer going into my freshman year. We go down to Champaign, my mom and I. We'd been to a few schools, and we were taking pride in that every school getting into the football stadium. So like Indiana, we got this player to like walk us through. I don't know why, but this is just...
They thought you were a recruit, I think.
Yeah, they thought I was a recruit. So they were offering tours of the football stadium, but my mom and I were like, no, we're gonna do it our own way. We walked in the stadium, we walk on the field. Then we just walk into like that player's lounge by the Zupke Field sign. And then from there, we kind of walk into like the team rooms, like near where they do the press conference. And throughout the whole like area near the locker room, there's these Velcro schedules all around. And on every Velcro schedule, Northwestern's logo is flipped upside down.
Wow.
Just the most petty Tim Beckman thing ever.
Orientation of objects and words breeds hate. Wow. If that doesn't show you how much he hated Northwestern, I don't think anything will.
That was what the injured kids in the purple jerseys did while they couldn't practice.
Is that as deep as he went with his hatred? Like, because I know, like, the game, you know, they won't use, like, the letter M, or, like, they won't even say Ohio State or whatever it is. Like, is that our equivalent of it?
He probably wanted to get as corny as that, but he probably didn't.
No, there's no way. So it is Hate Week, so I think that that is a good way to sort of kick off our Hate Week discussion, because, you know, we have Duke, we have Northwestern, we have Mizzou. I guess, do we hate... If you had to choose one that you hated more than the other two. I mean, for me, it's definitely Mizzou, I think. I don't know. Robert, it's definitely Mizzou for you. I mean, Duke, everyone kind of hates Duke, but it's not like a rivalry by any stretch of the imagination for us. You could convince me Northwestern, but Mizzou, it's just a special kind of hate for you, I know, especially.
I cannot put my Mizzou hate into words. Like... I mean, you guys know my story, right?
Do you want to go through it? But I think Maddie at one point asked you like what the story was, maybe 3 years on Twitter.
I did.
And you did respond to him with the exact story. So
I did. Yeah, I know.
Little did you know that your quote tweet would be a response to Maddie Graham's.
Yeah, I know you probably tell it like once a year, but I think it's important to revisit that every once in a while. Every time, you know, there's a new set of listeners or new people who just don't understand what your personal and very rational and like real hatred of Mizzou is, and there's a good reason for it.
You have to start here. Like, it has to start with... Like, you grew up in St. Louis, and this game is a lot. And I grew up in St. Louis on the Illinois side, and, you know, it's the bragging rights game is massive. And so there's the background to it of, you know, my dad went with friends before I was, you know, even 8 years old. And so it was like, you know, it was this big deal. And, you know, through the 80s, Illinois won 8 in a row, and It was this story, and Norm Stewart would change the hotel Mizzou would stay in every year because he was superstitious and he felt like that's why they were losing. And, you know, there was a year where Missouri was ranked and we weren't, and we still won. And you know, it was this big thing. So then when I get into school, I had a friend who went to Mizzou, and her dad and my dad were like friends in high school. And so, like they played football together in high school in like the early 60s. So they've known each other for years. His daughter goes to Mizzou. My dad's son goes to Illinois. They decided the four of us are going to go to the Mizzou Illinois game every year. So we go every year. We go in 91 and we go to 92. Mizzou wins both games. We have tickets to go in 93, and that's when my dad passed away. So it was the day after Thanksgiving in 93. He passed away suddenly out of nowhere, and I still had these tickets to the game. And I talked to my mom about it, and she's like, we should go, and we should just, you know, honor your dad's memory, and let's just do this. And so my mom and I went, and she sat in his seat, and it was hard, but this was the famous game, triple overtime. Mizzou had five guys foul out, I think. Their bench basically beat us in the third overtime, guys who had played like 9 minutes all year. It's this famous game in the series. And after the game, I am physically and emotionally spent because I was supposed to be there with my dad and with Hart and all this stuff and everything else. So quite literally, we were in the upper deck of the old arena. I think that was the last game in the old St. Louis arena before it was torn down, the old Checker Dome. And so to get down from the upper deck, there was these old, like, felt like a high school stairway kind of thing. And so I'm in that high school stairway and, like, on one of the landings of the stairway, and I, like, lose it. I, like, break down and cry. Like, I hadn't cried in 3 weeks. You know, we had just buried my dad. Going to the game was a bad idea, but I felt like I wanted to be there because he wanted to be there and this and that. And that's when these Mizzou guys see me crying, see me in an orange shirt, stand over me and point. Like, my mom is standing there, but they're standing over me and like, get up, you pussy, you know, like all this, like, crying, little baby, why don't you cry some more? And so at that very moment, I'm like, I will hate Mizzou, and I will hate their fans, and I will have good reason to hate Mizzou and hate their fans for the rest of my life. And so I will. Like, they had no idea. They're not going to know that my dad just died. Like, they're drunk, and they're at a game. They're euphoric because they just won in triple overtime, and they're going to do this. But because of whoever those guys were wearing, you know, yellow shirts, I will celebrate like crazy when Illinois, I have two celebrations during the tournament, when Illinois wins a game and when Missouri loses. And when they fall out and they have never been to a Final Four, I'd like to note, when they lose, I celebrate and celebrate some more. When Paul Olney shot 1-for-13 from three and they missed their best ever chance at the Final Four, I celebrated as if Illinois had just made the Final Four. And I will hate them for the rest of my life. The end.
Or when they were a 2 seed and lost to a 15 seed. Also, they've never made a BCS bowl.
Oh, that sucks for them. I'm so sad about that.
He's crying. You can't see him, but he's crying.
Yes, you can't see it, but I am.
Yeah, I think that's such an amazing story because I know for us, our hatred in sports is so unbelievably petty. Like,
irrational,
the things and the people that we hate so often and so frequently is so petty that if you look at it from an outsider's perspective, it's so, like, it's like so pathetic and so embarrassing, yet you have such a deep and very rational, like I said, reason to hate this team and this fandom, and I think that fuels it, which I think is special in a sense, because again, it's not petty, it's very fair, yet here I am hating, you know, Mark Smith, Jeremiah Tillman, you know, Pickett, all these guys for somewhat of a valid reason, but still so petty compared to just your very rational and justified reason to hate this fan base. And so I can imagine how that's just never, ever, ever going to change.
Why do we always forget about Parker Vaughn?
I'll tell you how much it was. Do you know the last time I said the P word out loud was like 6 years ago? That word is not in my vernacular. But when I tell that story about the Missouri guys, I have to say what they called me because it's burned into my memory forever. Like, the loss of my father is tied directly to these Mizzou guys standing over me saying what they did.
Well, we appreciate you telling that story. I think it is like
I'll tell it anytime.
That's also like the worst kind of fan who, after a win, the thing that you need to do is talk shit and belittle someone. Like, you just won the game. All you have to do is just gloat and be silent. You don't need to say anything because you just embarrass the other team.
There was some really mean South Florida fans to me at the at Soldier Field a couple years ago. That reminds me of that. The most not real rivalry ever that we got into with the South Florida.
Those commuter fans.
Those commuter school fans.
Why do they go?
Anybody who'd, I don't know anybody who'd scream things like D'Antonio knew. I don't know what.
That was during the
that
game.
That was during the game while we were losing. Not when we were winning.
Okay, okay, good, good. I just did that because the camera's on you and I wanted to see your face, John.
Totally fair, totally fair.
So I guess while we have you here, and since the game is coming up, I know you are maybe in a, we're all in a little bit of a fragile state, you know, coming off of a basketball loss, coming off of a football loss. You know, how are you feeling? And especially because the game's on Saturday and we have a football game before that. And so
and a Duke game.
And the Duke game. So we might be, you might be in an extremely more fragile place than we are even right now as Illinois fans. How are just you feeling from almost like an SOC standpoint at this point?
Standpoint. I am still in the funk I've been in since the Ohio game. The Ohio game broke me a little bit of like, wait, if we're vulnerable like this, I can point to about 11 games on our schedule where we're vulnerable. So, you know, I know people have been mad at me for my Ohio takes, and I still hear from people that I'm like, you know, that I'm that I'm not trusting, and it happens, and look at all these great, you know. Still to this day, I guarantee I'll go to my mentions right now and someone will point out Kentucky's loss today and say to me, like, see, good teams lose to bad teams all the time. Like, I am still in this total funk. Like, the plan I had for this season, the plan I had for this team did not include needing 2 3-pointers in the final minute, both of them having to fall for us to beat Ohio.
Well, did you see what Ohio did yesterday to Cleveland State?
The 40-0 run?
Right. It took them like 35, 40 points before Cleveland, was it Cleveland State, right, could even get a basket. Yeah. So they might be a very legitimate team. I know they're playing Cleveland State, who, Robert, do you know who used to be the athletic director at Cleveland State? I'm sure you do.
Thomas,
yeah, just checking. But maybe they're like a legitimate team. I know it probably shouldn't have taken a couple threes in the last minute. But I think we all probably can resonate to a little bit of that fragility right now. Maybe we thought things would be going a little bit better.
Yeah, I think after – I think Tuesday will be a very good like barometer for where exactly our team is. I think just the talent that Duke has that are that's both their freshmen, but as well they're just obviously Duke. And there is still – it's hate week for a reason because we do hate Duke just because they're all hateable and always have been hateable. But I think it's a very good barometer because this is the game that I think people were actually more excited for on Twitter over the summer or, well, it, well during the fall when this was announced, being like, this is a game that, like, Illinois is a coming out party. We got the Baylor game as well. You just got to hope that the team comes to play. We had – a challenge against Baylor, but I think this is a very good barometer going into the week, and I don't want them to overlook Duke for maybe a rivalry week game that we have later in the week where, like, there's been, like, Iowa hasn't won against Mizzou, and Trent is 1-2 against Mizzou, and there's hatred because there's Mark Smith, Jeremiah, Javon, who will obviously go off against us because Javon is our killer, but...
I don't think they've looked past this game there. I think they all are marking up Duke as being an incredibly important game.
Of course.
One thing that I do want to say, hate week, we do remember the 2004 Sweet 16 game against Duke. So we still have some hate there. Also, Robert.
Okay, just pause for a second. This is going to be great audio. I took that screen grab and sent it to you because it looks like Josh has a mustache, I can't. Every time he puts the mic up to his mouth and I see just a little semicircle, it looks like he has this Mario mustache.
Yeah, it does.
And that's why I keep laughing. So I had to share it with you before we went on because it's awesome.
It's important to note.
Thank you for sharing.
It is important to note. Like, the listeners are going to want to know. I was on FaceTime for this, and while on FaceTime, it looked like Josh was wearing a fake mustache.
Perfect. Detective.
That. Gentlemen, is good podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
continue your actual discussion of actual Illinois basketball.
No, that's okay.
So I also just wanted to thank you for being the only broadcaster that didn't mention that the tip off was at 9 o'clock Central and that you needed caffeine to stay up for the game. But while you were there, did you have any just like observations that maybe we couldn't see from the game, or just like how we really match up with a top five team?
Observation wise, I feel like people have this idea that it's weird inside of an arena, but I don't think people really know how weird it is. Like how bizarre squeaking shoes are in a massive arena. Not in a like, wow, this is weird that there's no fans cheering, but in a like, I don't know, in like
NBA arena
sounds. Yes, yes. It's
people are making the comparison that it's like you're at an AAU game pretty much, where there's like these really good athletes, they're playing basketball, teams are competing really hard, but like it's just an AAU game, but you're actually in an NBA stadium where like the sound is just, it's, there's nothing there, right?
Sounds are weird. Like I could see how like, so, you know, an NBA arena is typically going to be like a hockey kind of thing, to where the seats go to a certain point and then there's temporary seats for the rest of the seats that go on where the ice usually is or whatever. You know, they usually set up like that. So the areas to the sides, like where there's like the cavernous, just these big expanses of concrete kind of thing on either side, has to mess with, like it has to mess with the eye background for shooters. But as well as like just the general feel of like where you're playing, you know, it feels almost like a court out in the middle of a parking lot that has a room around it kind of thing. Like it's this really weird vibe. And then you have the benches yelling, which just gets really strange, of like, you know, the Ohio thing with like, they're going to start changing defense and then we'll change defense. Yeah. And so it becomes this like, well, if those are the only people making noise, does it matter? Is there energy from that? It's just a really, really bizarre thing. And so it's hard to tell people exactly how it is. Now, as far as observing the game up close.
And with not just terrible camera angles, which we had to watch at home.
Oh, God.
Did you watch the replay?
Some of it.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Yes. Okay. Enough people sent me screenshots that I sent out a tweet of where those platforms were built for those cameras.
I have a theory.
Because normally it's right in the center of the, you know, the best seats.
I think the reason I think I have a theory why they have that camera angle is because there's no fans. I think they're trying to replicate a camera angle if you were like sitting in the stands at that row or something like that. And they're trying to give people like a good like, ooh, if you, we wish you were here postcard type thing. But turns out it's just like a subpar view of the game, and
give us the all 22.
Turns out the camera angle they've been using since 1945 is the same camera angle we want today.
Yeah, just cut the crap.
Yeah, like, thank you.
As far as like the game and the observations of things people maybe didn't see, like I don't know, man. Like I felt like Baylor was the best team I saw that night. I feel like they would have beaten Gonzaga yesterday. That's good for us, but it's also like, I don't know, just whatever I was watching, you know, and yes, the stats didn't prove it, and Io was off in the first half, and Kofi had foul trouble and all that stuff, but like, it just had this feeling of like, oh man, we do not match up with these guys. Like, they are big and strong and can bulldoze their way in a lane. And what do we have? And what was 45's name? Mitchell, I think. You know, he's like this guy that we don't have. He can hit the three, but he can muscle you out of a rebound. And like, it's like, man, this is something interesting here. I expected us to be the eye-popping kind of team. And then we have the Ohio thing and we have this. And it just made me concerned. So, I mean, maybe we beat Duke and I feel better and it all goes away, but I'm in this funk, man. Like, this is not what I expected to see, and I need better soon or else, like, my fears are going to take over.
Does a Duke funk get you out of it right away, or are you still worried for the end of the week?
Duke?
Yeah, beating Duke, sorry. Does it have to be convincing?
I mean, here's the thing. It's like we've got this comp hanging out there of what Michigan State did at Duke. So, like, it's this direct, you know, I know we're not supposed to do this and, like, transitive property, but it's like if we don't beat Duke by as much as Michigan State beat Duke by, then Michigan State has a better chance in the Big Ten than we do. And they're supposed to be rebuilding, and we're supposed to have our best team in 15 years. So, like, yeah, like, everything's kind of so precipitous right now. Like, I'm worried that, like, the optics just aren't that good.
Yeah, I don't want to, not to get too far with the transitive property, but MSU against Detroit, Mercy, and Western since Duke, not doesn't make you feel great about playing much worse than MSU has.
But it also shows the opposite of the Ohio thing, where we played down to Ohio and they played down to Detroit Mercy. And
if there's any sport in which the transitive property just does not exist, it is college basketball. So I'm okay with the fact that we don't have to beat Duke by more than what MSU did. And then we look at Detroit Mercy giving MSU a run for their money, and, you know, all these Big Ten teams who maybe struggled, you know, like Valparaiso going toe-to-toe with Purdue and all these teams. The transitive property just does not exist in college basketball.
Anarchy?
No. Apparently, it's just college basketball.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. Well, I think this is about a good place to wrap up a little quick hitter episode here before we get into, hopefully, a funk getting out of week. Robert, anything you want to sort of wrap us up with before we head into what should be
a make or break week,
a scary make or break week here for our winter.
Well, you promised some hard hitting questions that I was going to have to be surprised by. So I'm going to get into those hard hitting questions so that I can give you scalding hot takes.
Oh, well,
we are under the impression that you don't talk about coaching searches until after it's announced. So you kind of gave us some information earlier in the podcast where you don't think it's going to happen. So our hard hitting questions has to take a pause.
Gosh, yeah, that's good. That's a good spot. What I won't say is names. If you're wanting names, I can't do it because I just won't do that. But if you want to talk about it, I'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll leave it so it could be Brad or Lovey or Nancy.
Right, Nancy, half over wrestling. Evan, tennis?
Coach Clark is not going anywhere.
That's
moment
true.
Now.
Who are we forgetting? Fire. Mike Small? Dancer, I think he's probably safe. Mike
Hold
Small.
Hold me closer, Mike Small tiny dancer.
Bayfield safe? That's the question.
Janet. Yeah, well, they're getting new. They got new facilities ever since DeMarajan got put in. I think that probably bought her a couple more years.
Nothing like you keep. Nothing keeps your job like a new facility in the new facility.
Right. Look at football,
especially when it's named after you.
That DeMarajan money might have kept someone else's job elsewhere. But
who are you referring to?
I don't. We're not going.
Oh, that's right. We're not naming names. I forgot. We can't actually name names.
Well, Nancy announced a new facility, so she's safe.
With the Ubbin expansion, right?
It was Nancy's facility, not
Old's everyone's facility. Yeah. It's also the guy who hands out flyers for the chance when the recruit comes. Baseline ILL sideline INI baseline the Twitter handle sideline. Who do we want? The real T Jones. Always shout out that guy.
Hit me with some like things you've always wanted to know about me questions to replace the hard hitting coaching search questions. I'll let you know that I've moved now since, you know, we're doing the whole, my wife just went to bed and I was recording in the back of the house, the front of the house is the hot tub this time, but I'm now at the piano.
Oh my God.
So, that was so loud in our ears.
I was like, did someone's phone go off?
So if you would like some piano takes, I can bring that to you. Or we can talk about, more high school dating stuff or whatever. I mean, you've
I
got
like
me
the
here.
Song
She's
that
gone
sometimes
to bed,
in
so
our life. I like that song. I was going to dub it over with some Illini lyrics or something.
Well, Robert,
I could play just about any 80s, 80s, like late 80s love song because I learned them all on the piano to impress girls.
Do you know Runaway Baby by chance? Because we can give you some ad lib lyrics to Runaway Baby that we have created based off of the Barry Houser Is My Dad.
Oh, from the Marching Band.
Unfortunately, I was born in 1972, so I do not. I do not own that.
Yeah, Bruno Mars doesn't really translate well over into sheet music for a piano. It's more of a trumpet, trombone, triangle flute type piece.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you, Maddie, for bringing the music to.
Yeah, of course. I play clarinet a little bit.
I play a little clarinet.
Yeah.
All right, Robert, actual tough question.
Oh, yes, I'm in.
So I guess we've seen some really tough times. Now, kind of looking back, do you have a rock bottom for the last 5 years, maybe football and basketball?
5 years?
More than that. You can give any time during your Illini fandom rock bottom.
Basketball, I just did this exploration of it. And like the fall started with Rich McBride's three-pointer being a tenth of a second too short. I don't even remember what I landed on. I know that Bradley, Utah, that what was that, a Vegas tournament or whatever? Like that was when I finally gave up that Weber wasn't going to do it. I don't think rock bottom was until, I said the Purdue press conference, but then somebody said the next game where it just looked like they had given up at Nebraska. We're down 79-50 late in the fourth, my football shining through. We're down 79-50 late in the second half. And I forget, wasn't there a player in tears on the bench and the coach had just given his press conference where he basically said it's over and I failed and this was my fault. And that seems like rock bottom. So let's go that adjusted take of Nebraska game in February of 2012, like February 7th or 8th of 2012.
See, but even then, like, I feel like there was later on post Gross, like even when we're in the Weber era, we're still like, this is Illinois basketball. Like, even if we get rid of Weber, the next guy's going to come in and turn it around. I feel like more in the late stages of Gross, early stages of Underwood, where you're like, are we ever going to get back there? Like, it seems so far removed a few years later.
People had all this hope, even when, like, you know, Underwood losing to like Florida Atlantic or whatever.
That got us Kofi.
Yes. I still had all this, like, you know, I was fully in, you know, I literally predicted a 12 win season and a 13 win season. So it was aligned with what I saw of him tearing everything down and starting over. And so it didn't drive me that crazy, I guess. I don't know. Like, that didn't feel like rock bottom to me. Rock bottom felt like, dear God, we just lost to Bradley in Utah. You know, rock bottom felt like we are Illinois basketball and we just lost to what was it? They were ranked 19th, as high as 19th in December of 2011. And then we lose 15 of the next 19 or whatever it was. You know, that tumble felt so much darker and so much when will we ever get back than any of the early days. Now, for you guys, they were personal because you're students, you're there, you're being deprived of something that you thought you would have, you know. So I get how that's like very personal. But for me, I love the camera spin there so I can see all your...
There's so much rock bottom from our 4 years of school. Yes, so bad. Exactly. It was just all
so many times Illinois plays after a loss at the State Farm Center and you just
walk home dejected. Okay, well, so then let me spin that back toward you then. So, like, okay, this could help me with Hate Week. Like, what, like, I mean, you still have what are they going to be, 9 tomorrow, 11, something like that? Like, you guys still have this top 10-ish team taking on Duke. You probably haven't tumbled as far as I have. Have you? Like, what did Ohio followed by Baylor do to you guys?
I don't know if it shook me to the point where I'm like lost doubt in the team. Obviously, I did not expect the Ohio game. I honestly, after like two blowouts, Johnny and I sat down. I'm like, all right, nice easy game here. Probably I put a little bit of money down on Illinois minus 17. But, you know, in a game like that, at that point, I'm just happy to get out with a win. I think even the Baylor game, I was like, look, we hung, and I don't believe in moral victories anymore. Like, we've been doing that for years, but we did hang in there with the top two, with the number two team in the nation. And it's hard for me to get that upset. It doesn't feel like it's a disappointment necessarily. You know, we hung in there for the entire game except for maybe 4 minutes. So I don't feel like things have necessarily changed. I think there's a lot of work to do, but I don't think any of the expectations have necessarily changed after the last two games. But I think that we need to maybe temper our expectations just in the short term, in terms of like, oh, we're going 17-3 in the Big Ten and we're going to be a steamroll and compare us to 2005 right now. Like, I just don't think it's going to be like that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was like a little depressed just because it was one of those things where you have this marked on your calendar for such a long time, basically right when we see Baylor. And I don't know about you guys. I wake up at 5 a.m. and can't go back to sleep because I'm like, this game is happening, even though you're waiting all day, getting so excited for this game that's at 9 o'clock. So all day, that's the only thing you can think about. While prepping for it, I'm watching the Illinois Wake Forest game, and I'm like, this is our moment right here. This is now. And I'm really just romanticizing that 2005 team and projecting my feelings onto this current team, which is unhealthy and we shouldn't do that. But that's exactly what I was doing, and I'm guessing a lot of other people were doing. So it was definitely a very like shaking and almost depressing loss that like this team is just not that, and that's fine. But that's what kind of the Baylor game was like, this is not an invincible team like the 05 team or like the Flying Illini team.
It's kind of funny that Johnny's kind of went a little bit negative there, where my feeling on that is more of we went into going into Baylor and Duke, we just want to go 1-1 pretty much, because like
we're guaranteed to win now.
It doesn't
Duke.
Mean we're not guaranteed, but it's we still have our expectation to hit, and that's the main thing for us. Like, we were talking in our initial podcast saying that every game does matter, and like, if we wanted 1-1 there to happen, like, it still can't happen. So like, it's weird that Johnny and I are on the exact opposite side on this.
Yeah, I mean, usually I'm more of an optimistic person, but I would say always waiting for this moment for Illinois basketball. Like, even last year, we never really like popped the doors off and said like, we're here, we arrived. Like, we had those two big games against Maryland and Michigan State at home. Like, this is our moment to show the big stage, like, we're here. We lose that. We lose pretty much any football game that's like, okay, we're finally arrived, maybe playing Iowa after just beating Michigan State. We lose that one. We lose the bowl game. And then once again, maybe like, okay, this Wisconsin week one game, like, this is our year. So keep waiting for that just like blow up moment that still just hasn't happened
Can
yet.
I just comment how right now on one of our TVs here, there it's like the Big Ten recap show. They're just showing full highlights of the Illinois-Iowa game. But they're doing the full highlights where they don't just show the winning team. They're doing the full highlights.
It's
we're
14-0
about,
right now.
They're challenging the Amator Bebe touchdown. Apparently it stood. So stay tuned for what happens next.
Oh, no.
Oh, and yeah. Okay.
Nothing. Maybe it's real. That's fascinating. Like, you guys have never had a breakthrough game, right?
No.
Well, what do you define as a breakthrough? I guess
the feel-good game that we did have was the Iowa game at the end of last year. Like, we're going into the Big Ten tournament. I know we lost Ohio State, but, like, it's pretty much – how did we finish the Big Ten
season?
Yeah,
we clinched the double bye. So
we clinched a double bye. That was a big game for us in our fandom, and that meant a lot to us because, like, we haven't had a – bye in our whole entire college career, and now we get a double bye. Right.
I'm sorry to keep you. I'm just gonna keep, and I'm gonna flip this and keep asking you guys questions. So like what was Wisconsin like for you then? Like, Io hits the three, and we like, what was that like? That had to be like, what is happening?
That was disbelief. Like, we were laughing on the couch.
Like, you guys had never really had you were kids and you had games and you knew about, you know, 2011 we destroy UNLV or, you know, whatever, but like, you know, you had never really had a moment like in your whole fandom.
I think the only thing I can compare it to is the Michigan basketball game our freshman year. It was the like sell out, the biggest crowd ever at State Farm Center. We're down 7 in the last 2 minutes or whatever it is. Kendrick Dunn hits the three to send it to overtime. We end the game on like a 21-0 run, including overtime. And it's like, a farewell to the old State Farm Center, and it's like, oh my God, that was my first, like, this is what Illinois basketball really can be. It was like a sold out crowd. It was the loudest I'd ever heard. It was an orange out. That was like freshman me being like, heck yeah, this is our moment. But then, you know, you go into like another 4-year lull with basically no moments in basketball since then. And so that's probably the closest thing I could compare it to.
Yeah, Wisconsin was different last year than Michigan, because Michigan, we should have beat them, and we did. But Wisconsin was like, I thought this wasn't how the script is supposed to go. I thought Brad Davison is supposed to get some ridiculous call.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. This is fascinating.
Our moment actually is the Elite Eight volleyball game that we all went.
That's true.
We all, like, Johnny and I are in our fifth year, and Maddie and Sam came down for that Elite Eight game because that was our best Illini.
Well, what
moment
did we skip? We left the second half of the basketball game. There was that basketball, UNLV game going on. We left that game to go see the Elite Eight game, and we like barely hung on in that basketball game. I believe it was like a last possession free throw or something.
Which,
like,
was during Shimon Cooper's official visit, when we see him in his hoodie asleep watching this basketball game. A lot of emotions that day.
A lot of emotion. That was like literally our athletics moment, was seeing them clinch the Final Four, in a berth in the Final Four. That was like as cool as it got.
Yep. And then in pure Illinois fan, they go to the Final Four up 2-0 in sets. And
to
then,
Wisconsin.
No, Nebraska.
Or Nebraska, and then Wisconsin, right.
Talk about annoying announcers. Them loving Michaela Fecky and Kayla Sun. And yeah, then, of course, we do what we do at right. Illinois.
Right. Sam, do you remember that game?
I do remember that game.
It was really fun.
Hey, Sam, you remember that? Wasn't that awesome?
He's just frozen in the back, reminiscing about better days.
Yeah, I was just reminiscing.
So football, I mean, we've talked about this, right? But like is, I guess in Michigan State's the only moment, right? Or
yeah,
Wisconsin, obviously. Wisconsin.
That's definitely, Sam was actually the only one on campus for homecoming that day. We were all at different places because we all went down for, obviously, October 12th, the weekend before. And so we were like,
yes,
a little Illinois out. I was at a wedding. Maddie, where were you?
I had something for school the next day. I couldn't go. So, I mean, I just couldn't go. And I remember I was, because Sam was going, I'm like, Sam, why are you going? Why are you driving 2.5 hours? I was like, I'm kind of happy I can't go to this game. Like, going to drive 2.5 hours both way. We're 30-point underdogs. Like, it's just going to be silly. And I'm just sitting there on my couch watching, and I'm like, what?
We went to Cam's after to celebrate, where not even a week earlier, I asked you, Robert, I thought it was over. I was like, what do we do now? And you were like, I'm not going to say anything until it's the end of the season. And sure enough, Wisconsin, Michigan State.
Stick with me on the never talk about it. Hold on to slivers,
almost
mustard
there.
Seed of hope.
I don't want to throw anyone under the bus here, but we were at Cam's that night, and there were some football players there. I'm gonna keep this player nameless, but we were chatting to them. You know, we were all having a couple drinks, and I just go, so and so, like, do you really care anymore? Like, what happens? And he was kind of like, you know, not really. We've lost a little faith in the season, and basically, he was saying, like, we don't really care. And I talked to a couple other players, and they were having a good time, and they're like, heck yeah, we still care. But this one player, which, you know, played a role in that game, was kind of like, we don't really care anymore. And I thought that was just kind of an interesting response. I don't know if he had just had a couple drinks or what the deal was, but his response was a little bit surprising to me. But, you know, being in that record at that time as a college kid, I could understand having a response like that.
College, I also ran into players at camps. I went to an afternoon basketball game, and then I went to Cam's that night. At Cam's was TJ Wheeler and Brooks Taylor.
Of course.
I went up to TJ Wheeler, and I said, hey, TJ, great shooting, man. And then that was it. I walked away. That was it. Great shooting, man, is all I could get out. And I didn't say anything to Brooks, and I walked away. That's my Cam's. That's a now famous Cam's Robert interaction story.
Almost as good as the Kiwan Garris pencil story.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
Johnny has some type of memory. He can always find that. He can always.
No, I just remember literally buying groceries at Target, listening to that podcast, and just laughing. And people are looking at me, and they're like, I couldn't even explain.
Johnny remembers
Robert as a 22-year-old giving a pencil to Kiwan Garrison is now the coolest guy in the classroom.
John remembers that question because he was the one that would always ask me for a pencil in college or for his batteries.
My
iClicker
batteries were never
never there. So he's the one that would always be asking.
I would like to note our age differences in that I was asking for a pencil and Johnny's asking for an iClicker. I think that gives a bit of a generational gap between all of us.
Just so Johnny doesn't get academic dishonesty, he was asking for batteries, not an iClicker.
Right. Completely within the parameters. Thank you if you're listening, Chancellor Jones. Johnny is a good, honest student.
My diploma is already here, boys. <That's true. laughs> They can't take it away
from
me
now.
They
can't
do my case.
Okay, well, that's good. That was a good discussion because I was curious about I guess it helps me to view through your guys' eyes that you've just never had. Like, you know of and you understand and you appreciate what Illinois basketball is and can be. But as far as experiencing it, this Duke game could be the biggest moment you've ever had.
Correct. If it's a breakthrough.
Right.
We need some swag.
By more than Michigan State did.
Yes. There's a lot of variables.
Yes. I'm gonna spend a lot of time thinking about this tonight. I like this.
Absolutely. And I think ending on a positive note like this, where we've all convinced ourselves that we're gonna win at Duke by double digits, we're all thinking it is a good way, I think, to wrap up
3-0 in hate week.
Super Saturday we beat Northwestern in the morning, we beat Mizzou at night, and hate week becomes the moment it all turned around.
Throw the record books out the window when hate week is here, ladies and gentlemen. We hope to come to you after a flawless hate week next week, or at least maybe 2-1 or 1-2, right?
3-0.
Robert, are you going to any of the games? Are you going to the suburbs of Chicago or Columbia?
Nothing this week. I am. Tyler is going to go cover the game in Columbia. My son from Idaho will be in town, and so I'm having a family time on Saturday with my son and my new daughter-in-law, and so, I mean, it's kind of perfect because I don't think I could survive either press box or press row. Like, being at Mizzou, I don't know if I can do it. Like, literally, I don't know if I can do it, and even with no fans, just, like, it just feels so grimy to me, Northwestern, it's just hard for me to even be up there. I just can't.
In the suburbs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like when we played Northwestern at Soldier Field in whenever that was, 15 or whatever, like I walked into Pat Fitzgerald's press conference and I left. I couldn't take it. There was these two SIDs in the back, these Northwestern SIDs, and they were all giddy and like, yeah, oh, Pat's going to answer a question soon, guys. And it's just like, nope. And I went out and I went to where I could still see the room, so I could see when people left, but I just waited for, what was it, a Qubit press conference to start in the same room afterwards, because I couldn't be in the room. I couldn't stand it. Like, I cannot take their joy. I can't handle it. So this is perfectly timed. My son will be home from Idaho and I'm going to see him and I'm going to skip both games and I'm just going to have a line eye free set. I don't even know how much I'll watch of each game. So it's going to be interesting. Yes.
I wish I had that level of restraint. I wish I had that level of restraint.
We'll text you if there are any Mark Smith tears. Okay.
I mean, this was maybe before you guys, but if you know, I did not watch the Bragging Rights game from 1999 to 2011, I think 2012. I ignored the entire game. I behaved as if it didn't exist, and I checked the score afterwards. It was my once per year. I will just forget that I care this much because it used to, like, devastate me, and I just couldn't take it. And all the stuff we talked about at the beginning of this, of, like, what's it like after a loss, I just couldn't do it. And again, we won, like, 9 in a row during that streak, but I just could not. Like, I couldn't do it. I can't. It's too hard for me. And so I went – let's see. I didn't watch in 97, 98, I didn't watch. 99, I went back and went to the game. Couldn't take it. And 2000 through 2000 – when did Tracy hit the free throws? 2012? And then I went back in 2013.
One of the 7 years.
Yes, yes. One of the 17.
Yeah. Well, good luck not watching. We'll make sure to do all the watching for you because there's literally nothing that would ever that we could ever not watch, unfortunately. And we mean that as a compliment and as a like detriment to us that it's a problem.
I know that it's my personal issues with Missouri and my personal issues with that game and what it means and what it's always meant. And again, like I can't tell that story without telling the top of the like the end of that story, which was I decided after Tracy hit those free throws, I was going to go back. I did go back. And when I went back in 2014, well, whenever it was, when Rayvante hit the three-pointer to win is when I was there. So I finally got to go back, and I finally got to have this, like, moment. And I'm not going to lie. I cried in press row afterwards, and I thought about my dad, and I hadn't been to the game since. And you know, we hit a three-pointer to beat Missouri, and nothing beat it. So,
wow.
So that's my whole Mizzou oversharing story, and that's all I got.
Well, we really appreciate you telling us that story and hopping on with us here this evening. Again, such a emotional way to end Hate Week of all weeks. But yeah,
yes.
Let's get some dubs this week. What do you say?
Please, let's get some dubs.
I and I.